This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Time now for part one of the Morning Farm Show, brought to you by Hawkeye Steel at the intersection of Route 138 and I-55 in White City, by Smokey Jennings Chevrolet of Palmyra, and by Farm Credit Services of Illinois.
Smokey Jennings Chevrolet is making it exciting and easy to buy a new car or truck with Chevy's Total Confidence pricing. No need to negotiate because all new 2012 Chevy vehicles have the low price tag on them. Plus, with Chevy's Love It or Return It guarantee, if you don't love it, you can return it. Going on now at Smokey Jennings Chevrolet in Palmyra. Tax, title, license, and dealer fees extra. Go to ChevyConfidence.com for full details and restrictions. Purchase a 2012 vehicle by September 4th. Not available with some other offers. Need steel for a future project or repair? Hawkeye Steel carries a wide variety of carbon steel products like angles, channels, tubing, and more. Everything for a metal building is in stock, like panels, beams, and screws. Metal panels and common links are in stock, while custom links in a variety of colors can be ordered. Visit them at the intersection of Illinois 138 and I-55 in White City, or call 866-999-7880. Hawkeye Steel. Build it to last. Build it with steel.
How do you measure success? Chances are productive fields, a happy family, and a secure future are key parts in the equation. And just as you depend on yourself to take care of the family and farm, you can depend on Farm Credit to help you with your finance needs. For 96 years, we've been helping farm families and agribusinesses maintain the formula for success. Our experience has helped us develop a wide range of credit and financial products and services that you can use to keep your farm running more efficiently and profitably. Nobody understands the financial needs of farming better than Farm Credit. Whether it's farm real estate loans, operating lines of credit, equipment financing, or crop insurance, Farm Credit has the products and services to meet the needs of today's farming operations. Call Farm Credit today at 1-800-444-FARM or find us online at fcsillinois.com. Farm Credit, providing the financial products farmers want with the service you deserve.
First of all, in the Farm Show on this Thursday morning, the overnight crude oil market, $1 lower at $84.80. The Brent crude, $1.23 lower at $99. The August gold contract, $12.70 lower at $1,563. The U.S. dollar index, 0.097 higher at 83.665. In electronic trading on the Chicago Board of Trade right now, July wheat trading at 827, that's up 19 and a quarter. September wheat trading at 833, up 6 and 3 quarter. July corn trading at 755, up 4 and a quarter. September corn trading at 714 and a quarter, up 10 and a quarter. July soybeans trading at 1617 and a quarter, that's down 5 and 3 quarter. August beans trading at 1565 and three quarter, down 5 3/4. On the Chicago Board of Trade yesterday, July wheat closed at 807 and three quarter, up 3. September wheat closed at 826 and a quarter, up a nickel. December wheat closed at 838 and a quarter, up 3. July corn yesterday closed at 750 and three quarter, down 10 and a quarter. September corn closed at 704, down 14 and a half. December corn closed at 704, down 13 and a half. July soybeans yesterday closed at 1623, down 25 and three quarter. August beans closed at 1571 and a half, down $1.90. September beans closed at 1540 and three quarter, down 17. July soybean meal yesterday closed at 478, down 42. August meal closed at 463.30, down 50, and September meal closed at 454.40, down 69. July soybean oil yesterday closed at 53.62, down 59. August oil closed at 53.82, down 47. September oil closed at 54.02, down 48. Right now we'll take you to the Department of Agriculture in Springfield for the Cash Grain Report.
Thank you. This is Jerry Milberg with the U.S. and the Illinois Department of Agriculture's Grain Market News Report. The Illinois country grain prices ended mixed on Wednesday afternoon, with wheat closing higher and corn and soybeans lower. Corn and soybean futures rallied in the early trading, as traders believe the USDA reports to be considered bullish, The corn and soybean futures then turned lower due to technical trading and profit-taking by some traders. In northern and western Illinois, country grain dealers quoted shell corn bid 16 to 18 cents lower at 718 to 736, and soybeans dropped 14 to 22 cents at 1598 to 1616. In central Illinois, country grain dealers quoted those shell corn bids 16 cents lower at 729 to 744. Soybeans declined 19 to 20 cents at 1581 to 1609, and the wheat prices gained 3 cents at 788 to 808. In the southern part of the state, shell corn bids were down 15 to 19 cents at 728 to 754. Soybeans dropped 17 to 19 cents at 1586 to 1625, and the wheat prices gained 5 to 9 cents at 778 to 836. Illinois River Barge Loading Elevators quoted producer corn bids 11 to 14 cents lower at 752 to 754. Soybeans dropped 19 to 22 cents at 1626 to 1632, and the wheat prices gained a nickel up to 786 to 796. East St. Louis Barge Loading Terminal Elevators placed their producer corn bids 11 to 13 cents lower at 762 to 763. These same elevators lowered their soybean prices by 17 to 19 cents with quotations at 1642 to 1647. Soft red winter wheat gained 6 cents on Wednesday up to 811 to 812, and the Milo down 12 at 633 to 634. Contract bids to producers for new crop delivered grain in northern and western Illinois. New crop corn range from 663 up to 674. New crop soybeans range from 1482 to 1498. In central Illinois, new crop corn range from 675 to 698. New crop soybeans range from 1487 to 1507. And in the southern part of the state, new crop corn range from 685 up to 708. And new crop soybean bids range from 1507 to 1523. That is our country grain report for Wednesday. This is Jerry Milberg with the U.S. and the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
On the Chicago Mercantile Exchange yesterday, July hogs closed at $95.95, up 42. August hogs closed at $91.30, down 77. October hogs closed at $81.10, down 185. August cattle yesterday closed at $118, down 40. October cattle closed at $122.15, down $1. December cattle closed at $125.80, down $1.07. August feeder cattle yesterday closed at $144.22, up 87. September feeders closed at $147.12, up 47. October feeders closed at $149.77, up 67. Back we go to the Department of Agriculture in Springfield for the cash livestock market report.
The closing livestock reports for Wednesday, July 11th. For the Eastern Corn Belt, daily direct hogs, burros, and gilts closed 97 cents higher. Carcass-based price range, 87 to 93, weighted average, 91.11. Hogs purchased Illinois today, 16,450. Illinois direct burro and gilt trade, a dollar lower, 60 to 64, a few up to 65, and Illinois direct slaughter sows mostly steady. U.S. 1s to 3s under 400 pounds and 400 to 450 pounds at 40 to 44. 450 to 400 to 550 pounds at 42 to 46. Over 550 pounds at 44 to 46, a few up to 48. Today's estimated receipts, 1,100, and Tuesday's actuals, 1,450. Pork carcass cutout, 89.57, that is down 2 cents. The estimated daily livestock slaughter into federal inspection, hogs today, 390,000. Last week, 2,000. Year ago, 412,000. Week to date of 1,178,000. Cattle for today, 126,000. Last week, 2,000. A year ago, 130,000. And week to date of 381,000. Box beef cutout values were weak on moderate demand and moderate heavy offerings. Total movement today, 169 fabulos with 62 trim. Choice, 187.81, down 54 cents. Select at 173.66, and that is down 68 cents. At the Fairview Livestock Auction, 336 head sold yesterday. Compared to 2 weeks ago, slaughter steers and heifers sold 3 to 4 lower, slaughter cows 7 to 8 lower, and bulls 8 to 10 lower. Slaughter steers, choice 2s to 3s, 114 and a quarter to 119 and a half. Heifers, choice 2s to 3s at 115 and a half to 118 and a quarter. Slaughter cows, breaking type 77 to 83. Boning type cows at 70 to 75 and a half, and lean cows 60 to 65. With slaughter bulls, your grade ones at 80 to 88. At the United Producers Auction over at Shelbyville, 739 head sold. Compared to last week, slaughter steers and heifers sold 2 to 2.5 lower, Holstein steers lightly tested, slaughter cows 2 lower, and slaughter bulls 3 to 4 lower. Slaughter steers, choice 2s to 3s, 116.5 to 122. Holstein steers, choice 2s to 3s, 110 to 111.5. Heifers, choice 2s to 3s, 117 to 122. Slaughter cows, boning type 77.5 to 85, with lean cows at 69 to 77, and slaughter bulls, your grade ones at 79.5 to 82.5. Opening report for the Greenville Livestock Auction, estimated receipts this morning 807. Compared to 2 weeks ago, slaughter steers and heifers were lightly tested. Slaughter steers, select and choice 2s and 3s, 110.5 to 115.5. Heifers, select and choice 2s and 3s at 110.5 to 115.5. Thank you. This is Kim Harmon with the U.S. and Illinois Department of Agriculture Livestock and Grain Market News Service.
Spot dairy prices on the Chicago Mercantile Exchange yesterday: for butter, 154 unchanged; for block cheese, 164.5 up a half; for barrel cheese, 164 down 1. The spot price for Class 3 milk yesterday ended at $16.57. Here are the bids from Hog Inc. Incorporated of Greenfield and Scottville. Corn delivered to Greenfield for July, $7.47. For August, $6.89. Corn delivered to Scottville for July, $7.39. For August, $6.84. Beans delivered to Greenfield or Scottville for July, $16.04. For August, $15.17. Wheat delivered to Scottville for July, $7.75. For more information or to confirm the bids, call Hog Inc.'s Greenfield office at 217-368-2888. Pre-opening prices once again: corn at Greenfield, $7.47, corn at Scottville, $7.39, beans at Greenfield or Scottville, $16.04, wheat at Scottville, $7.75. That's all for part one of the Morning Farm Show on this Thursday, brought to you by Smokey Jennings Chevrolet of Palmyra, by Hawkeye Steel at the intersection of Route 138 and I-55 in White City, and by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. And it's coming up on 621. Color radar shows no precipitation in our mid-Illinois listening area. This check of color radar weather brought to you by Carlinville Truck Equipment and by the M&M Service Company.
Who else provides a partner in crop production like M&M Service Company? The fact is, with your M&M crop specialist working with you throughout the entire year, you have the unique advantage of combining quality seed with expert agronomic knowledge know-how. As a true business partner, you can rely on your M&M Service crop specialist to help you reduce risks, make smarter decisions, improve profits, and just make the whole business of farming easier. So, for a production partner that can bring solutions that work in your fields, get a hold of your M&M Service Company crop specialist today. M&M Service Company, the local solution to your world of needs.
Carlinville Truck Equipment is the one name you need to know for truck and trailer repair. Plus, they have a large supply of steel and aluminum toolboxes for your truck at competitive prices. For help with your farm beds, hoist, tag, or pusher axles, lift gates, or any other truck-related equipment, see Carlinville Truck Equipment. You can count on Norm Craze and his staff for fast, dependable service. Carlinville Truck Equipment, 1900 North University, Carlinville. Call 854-6706.
Across mid-Illinois for today, sunny skies. There is a slight chance of a shower. High temperatures in the mid-90s with light east winds. Tonight, partly cloudy, a slight chance of a shower. The low in the upper 60s. And for tomorrow, Friday, becoming cloudy with a chance of a shower. The high about 90. And your extended forecast for Saturday through Monday: partly cloudy with a slight chance of showers Saturday and Saturday night. Low temperatures in the mid to the upper 60s, high temperatures in the low to the middle 90s. Right now, 64 degrees under partly cloudy skies at the Weather Center. Part two of the Morning Farm Show brought to you by Wright Automotive of Hillsboro and by Seavers Equipment of Hamel, Hillsboro, Greenfield, Carlinville, and Auburn. First of all, in our farm news today, due to the rapid decline in crop conditions in the past month, the United States Department of Agriculture's World Agricultural Outlook Board lowered the projected corn yield to a national average of 146 bushel on Wednesday, a 12% decline. According to Outlook board officials, that's the largest yield decline in the July report in recent memory. That puts estimated total production at 12.97 billion bushel in the latest World Agricultural Supply and Demand Estimates report. The report also dropped projected ending stocks for the 2012-2013 crop to 1.18 billion, down by a bit more than 700 million bushel. Soybean yield estimates are also down. The 40.5 bushel per acre projection is down 3.4 bushel from the June estimates. Total production now pegged at 3 billion bushel, a decline of 155 million bushel. Ending stocks were also lower, 10 million bushel to 130 million. The July report also brought winter wheat production down 1% to a forecast of 1.67 billion bushel on an average yield of 47.7 bushel. The total projection, the total production projection still 12% higher than last year's crop. On Wednesday, we talked to M&M crop consultant Bill Brink. He held out some hope for the area's corn crop.
There's going to be some fairly decent yields as you get, northern part of the M&M area, Verdun-Girard area. They're still looking pretty good. But then the extreme, you get in the southern part, and I've been down Mulberry Grove, southern Montgomery County. Haven't been to Madison County here recently. I was gone all last week. But there's some fields that will have a zero yield, and I've been in those fields. And it leads to the question of, you know, what do they do with that? And obviously some of these livestock producers, we don't have too many of them here in this immediate area, but some livestock producers that we're hearing are already, chopping the corn, bagging it. And, of course, there are dangers involved, and like I said, not many people around here will be wanting to do that, but if there are, you know, the danger, of course, is a high nitrate content in this drought-damaged corn. And what this is when there's not enough water, there's a reduced conversion from nitrate to protein, and that nitrate becomes toxic in that plant, particularly in the lower third of the plant, in the corn plant. So, you need to take care in cutting it for silage, bagging it. It should be in silage for at least a month for that nitrate content to reduce. So there's some precautions that you need to take. And first of all, make sure if you have crop insurance, talk to your insurance representative and see, get his okay to go ahead and chop it. And then secondly, make sure you get a sample of that corn for the nitrate content. If it's obviously too high, then it could be very toxic. And we do have a person within the M&M service company employees, Dave Lighty, who is a feed specialist. And if you want the corn checked for nitrate content, contact one of your M&M crop specialists, and they'll get in touch with Dave. And we'll get a sample sent off for this nitrate content because it could be very toxic if it's not handled properly.
You said the nitrates convert to protein. Is that just in the plant itself or in the grain on the ear?
No, it's in the plant itself. Obviously, the plant will take up nitrogen in the nitrate form in the lower stem or the lower part of the plant. And then water is needed to take that nitrate and convert it to protein within the plant and the grain too. And when there's when there's not much water there to make that transformation, then of course that nitrate just is there and becomes toxic. So that's what really triggers it is the conversion from the nitrate to the protein within a plant. In dry conditions, that doesn't happen very rapidly.
But if a farmer were to chop that and store it for a time, the toxicity levels go way down and it would be safe to feed?
Right. During the fermentation process, the nitrate content will decrease and will be converted. So like I said, in high nitrate toxicity situation, it probably should be ensiled for, at least 3 weeks and probably more like 4 weeks before it's even fed. Now, if they choose to bale it and it doesn't go through that fermentation process, then that nitrate level still stays pretty high and it's pretty dangerous. So it's better, for the livestock producer to to chop it and bag it, or else put it into a silo and wait, like I said, at least 3 weeks, probably preferably 4 weeks before he feeds it, and then gradually introduce it to the animals. Gradually introduce it maybe a little bit several times during the day rather than, you know, one big feeding in the morning or night. So it takes some precaution, and you need to talk to somebody who has some experience with high nitrate. And like I said, we've got this person within M&M, and if you, again, would like to get in touch with him, give us a call, and we'll be glad to get in touch with him.
If you do bale it, is it still possible to test for nitrate levels in that feed?
Yeah, you can do that, but again, it's probably going to take a little bit longer. There's always a tendency whenever you bale it to bale it at too high a moisture level. Whenever you bale it, it should be down around 20% moisture level, whereas if you put it in a silo, cut it for silage, you can harvest it then at about 65% moisture level. So baling it, you need to wait. Obviously, you need to cut it, let it wilt and dry, and bale it at 20% or less. If you don't, obviously, it's going to mold, and there could be a fire involved there, too, if you store it inside. So, it's a little bit more tricky whenever you try to bale it instead of ensile it.
Yeah, I forgot that spontaneous combustion can happen, can't it?
That's exactly right, and that's when you deal with high moisture baleage like that, that could very easily happen. And of course, now, if farmers are wanting to do that, and like I said, not many around here, but, in the southern part of the area, there might be some livestock producers that are going to be wanting to do that because, like I said, I've seen some fields where there's going to be zero yield out there, grain yield. And so this is about the only thing they can do to salvage that particular crop.
And that was M&M crop consultant Bill Brink. Extreme drought conditions continue to grip much of the Midwest. Some producers have already begun the process of filing crop insurance claims. Farm Credit Services of Illinois is in the process of hosting a series of drought discussions across its 60-county coverage area to educate producers on how to manage their risk during the extreme weather. Corey Mitchell, the Director of Related Services at Farm Credit Services, indicates the meetings cover a host of drought-related topics.
We're going to be talking about first crop, second crop situations, commingling of your grain, alpha toxin if you've got it in your area. Can you bale your corn? We're going to have several topics and a lot of open discussions for questions that certain farmers may have. We'll have folks on hand there that can answer their questions. And again, it's a federal program that everybody uses, so we all follow the same guidelines, no matter which crop insurance company you put your business.
According to Mitchell, one of the primary goals of the meetings is to walk farmers through the process of filing a crop insurance claim. He says Illinois has been blessed by several successful crops in a row, so producers may need a refresher.
We'll be walking the farmers through the process. Basically, the main thing to remember is to contact your agent first and get those claims turned in first and promptly. Then get an adjuster involved, get a claim turned in if you think there might be a possibility you're going to have a shortage on your crop. Education and communication is going to be very key. By us putting these meetings on early, we're trying to address, if there is a shortage, we get it addressed up front so that the claims can be handled in a timely fashion.
According to the Farm Credit Services, drought discussions are free of charge and open to any interested producer. 9 meetings will be held through the 19th at various locations around the state. To find out more, you can visit www.fcsillinois.com. Coming up Tuesday, pork producers and other industry stakeholders are invited to the Eastland Suites Hotel and Conference Center in Bloomington for an Illinois Pork Producers Association visioning session. Discussed will be sow housing issues and other factors affecting the pork industry. We talked to Mike Borgic of the Illinois Pork Producers Association, and he explains.
Well, this visioning session is actually based on the producers giving us direction on how they want us to proceed as an association. The visioning session, we bring in a couple of speakers, and we're going to have a panel discussion this year about the sow housing issue. And what we're hoping for is that the producers will come in, listen, and give us some feedback as far as what they want us to do about the issues, how they would like us to spend their money, and just how the association is doing in general.
Yeah, so in other words, the association is looking for a little bit of direction from the producers they represent as to how to deal with this sow housing issue, correct?
That is correct. Not just the sow housing issue, but all the issues that we're dealing with here in the pork industry. It's very important for us to get feedback from our producers because that's who we represent. So they need to tell us how they want us to handle the issues, how they want us to spend the checkoff dollars and the non-checkoff dollars that we have available here at the association.
What are some of the other issues that will be discussed?
Well, we all on the checkoff side, we have all sorts of programs that we're doing with the Illinois Farm Families and our DeBurger campaign up in Chicago with the half-pound pork burger sandwich up there. We're wanting to find out from them, are we moving in the right direction? Are we doing what you want us to do? Or are we completely off base and you want us to change things up? I mean, that's what these sessions are all about.
Who will the presenters be Tuesday?
Well, we have a panel discussion that's going to talk about the sow issues. We're going to have either Jim Kitechek from our office or Dallas Hockman from National Pork Producers Council. We're going to have a couple people from the packer process area to come in and speak. Phil Borgic will be coming in to talk about the producer perspective of this. And then we'll also hear from AP about the equipment issues that could come from this sow housing issue. And then also we're going to have Dr. Ron Plain. He's going to come in and give us a marketplace and kind of a update on where things are at within the market and kind of what to expect here in the near future.
And also you're going to have an election for delegates to the National Pork Producers Delegate Body?
That's right. In March, we have our National Pork Forum. And on the checkoff side, which is regulated by the USDA, we have to have an election of our delegates for that. And so that's what we do here in July.
And that was Mike Borgic of the Illinois Pork Producers Association. Secretary of Agriculture Tom Vilsack has announced a package of program improvements to deliver faster and more flexible disaster assistance to farmers and ranchers. Secretary Vilsack said a final rule that simplifies the process for secretarial disaster designations will result in a 40% reduction in processing time for most counties affected by disasters. A reduced interest rate for emergency loans effectively lowers the current rate from 3.75% to 2.25%. Finally, Secretary Vilsack said the annual rental payment on Conservation Reserve Program land qualified for emergency haying and grazing will be reduced from 25% to 10% in 2012 as a result of the seriousness of the drought. Secretary Vilsack noted that agriculture remains a bright spot in the nation's economy. He said it's increasingly important that the USDA has the tools to act quickly and deliver assistance when farmers and ranchers need it most. He said the improvements announced on Wednesday tell American producers that the USDA stands with them and their communities when severe weather and natural disasters threaten to disrupt their livelihood. Rural electric cooperatives and utilities in 15 states will receive loan guarantees to make improvements to generation and transmission facilities and implement smart grid technologies. In making the announcement Wednesday, Agriculture Secretary Vilsack said maintaining and upgrading rural electric systems creates jobs and supports economic development. He added that the loans would have a lasting impact on the rural landscape for generations to come. Once again, on electronic trading on the Chicago Board of Trade, July wheat now trading at 827, that is up 19 and a quarter. September wheat trading at 832 and a half, up 6 and a quarter. July wheat trading at 755 and a quarter, up 4 and a half. September corn trading at 714 and a half, up 10 and a half. July soybeans trading at 1609 and 3 quarter, down 13 and a quarter. August beans trading at 1565 and a quarter, down 6 and a quarter. We'll keep you updated throughout the day with the commodity markets on both WSMI, WSMI FM 106. Part 2 of the Morning Farm Show this morning, brought to you by Seavers Equipment of Hamel, Hillsboro, Greenfield, Carlinville, and Auburn, and by Wright Automotive of Hillsboro.